This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Should we start today with a game that really didn't matter last night or a facial hair policy? I'm going with option B. The Yankees, shockingly this morning, announced that they have now changed the facial hair policy that's been in store for what? Over 40 years, right?
At least 49.
There you go. For 49 almost 50 years. Yeah. And they will, now it's got to be maintained well, but you're allowed to have a beard now. What a change. I'm curious of why now. What a significant change. Hal Steinbrenner will be speaking at 11 o'clock, so we'll hear from him.
Yep.
But I do feel like the Yankees, rightfully so, are starting to evolve here.
Yeah, it's funny. I think a lot of people are kind of misreading this. Obviously, it's a personal interpretation, but I'm seeing a lot of stuff. Oh, the Yankees are no longer the Yankees. I think that that's ridiculous. And I'm a traditionalist. I've always been a traditionalist to the point where, you know, I really do resist a lot of change, whether it's expanding the NCAA tournament or the NFL playing multiple games in multiple European countries. Like, I just generally am a little reticent to have, you know, swooping radical changes. But you know, I also grew up in a house where, you know, if my hair got too long, my dad maybe cut it. I went to a high school where if my hair was too long, my dean of discipline, dean of students made us cut it. So I think that this was it's overdue, first of all. And I'm not of the mindset, well, athletes are entertainers, even though they are. I get it. We've had this discussion. Yep. I think too many people are consumed with being entertainers and more about their brand development than the actual pursuit of a championship or whatever. But, you know, I look at when this was implemented in the mid-70s by George Steinbrenner. I think I don't know this because George, I don't know that he ever commented on this, but I'm going to have to do some more digging. I didn't see it when I did some digging earlier. I would guess that you've got to trace back to when the Vietnam War ended. All right, the Vietnam War ended early 1970. I think April of 70, definitely 75. I think it was April, early-ish 75. And you know, if you look at history and you look at a lot of people, a lot of the men. Who came back from Vietnam, there was a different look. There was the facial hair, the long hair. And we know that George's background was one of military. And, you know, revered Patton and other things that he espoused during his lifetime. And I think that that was a reaction to some of the Vietnam trends. But, hey, listen, there's got to be individuality, and I like that some people. I believe in rules. Without rules, we've got problems,
and we do have less of them as we start to get the society. It just seems like there's less rules in place, or people are acting less ruley.
Yeah. And by the way, the end of the aesthetics or the optics of how somebody looks. I mean, it doesn't determine who you are. So I think for a baseball player, I don't like to shave at all. Ironically, right. I shaved last night. Right. I'll shave my head every day, and I'll shave the beard generally, you know, once every 10th, 12th, 2 weeks, something like that. I just don't like a clean-shaven look for myself. And I think it's about time. I think it was an antiquated, unnecessary rule. And, well, I don't want to see the Yankees get too far away from being the Yankees, but this was a layup. This should have been done 10, 15, 20 years ago. What are we doing?
What are we doing is right. Let's just simplify it. Forget about the Yankees being the Yankees. What does that even mean? If the Yankees were being the Yankees, they'd have the highest payroll in the sport. They don't. So you'd be, if a Yankee fan has a problem with the facial hair policy, they should have a bigger problem with the fact that other teams, multiple teams, have outspent the New York Yankees. That doesn't happen. That's number one. Number two, does this make the Yankees more appealing to potential free agents or trade targets? The answer is unequivocally yes, because less of a silly, stupid rule being in place would make them more appealing. That's number one. Number two, don't you think, like you just use yourself as an example, I would use myself as an example, I don't like clean shaven either, and I feel much more comfortable with having a beard. So don't you think that if Devin Williams, for example, feels more comfortable with a beard, it could be, you know, properly maintained or coiffed or trimmed, whatever you want to use, fine. But if he wants to have a beard, he should be able to have a beard instead of feeling uncomfortable. So A, being more appealing without the rule. B, making players be more comfortable if they still choose to have a beard. I think it's a win-win for the Yankees.
I don't think there's any question about this. I mean, listen, if you make the decision like, say, a Mark Teixeira or a Giambi knew what he was getting in from. You know, he had the long hair, the facial hair with the A's. He came here, he had to change things up a bit. If you signed with the Yankees as a free agent before today, you knew what the rules were. If you were traded here like Devin Williams, I mean, you've got no say over it, you know, unless you have a no trade policy, whatever. But yeah, I just think it really is. To say that it's antiquated is too easy. It's unnecessary. Like, I don't know what it did. I don't think that this is going to suddenly transform the Yankees into some cavalier, sloppy, rogue-looking group of baseball players.
I think, to your point earlier on, I think what it did was set a tone of, this is how it's going to be here. Now, I think that, you know, 50 years later, it seems ridiculous about facial hair. There are other ways you could implement order and rules and discipline. I think, though, that's just part of it. When you're a Yankee, you act a certain way. You act professional. You don't have any facial hair because you want to look professional. But that was a thing 50 years ago. It's not a thing anymore. So as long as you maintain it properly, don't look like a total slob like some guys that we've seen in the sport.
Yep.
And by the way, that's fine, to each their own. Like, I personally wouldn't recommend that or want that, but if certain players feel comfortable doing it, whatever. But I could see why George would implement that, trying to get guys in order and discipline. And by the way, I'm a disciplinarian. Like, I believe in that. And there should be order and rules in certain things. But you have to evolve. And to me, this is not the way to do it. Now, I will say, I give Hal a lot of credit, BT, because I don't think I could have done that. A rule that his father implemented years ago in the organization that his father bought and owned and ran and turned them into what they were. His father's no longer here.
Yep.
And you're going against what you know he believed in. I'm not saying he's wrong for doing it. I think he's right. You got to evolve and take a lot of things into account. And they did. I personally don't think I could go against my father's rules like that.
It's funny because I was going to go there as well. You know, you hear a lot of Yankee fans kind of, you know, plea for Hal to be more like his dad. Well, you know, this is, I don't know if flex isn't the right word, but this is a different kind, you know, use flex, I'll use it, kind of a flex from Hal where we don't usually really see flexes. And it's got to be the hardest one that he's ever signed off on, with the Yankees at least. I mean, I think it's tougher than deciding whether or not you go over certain tax thresholds, which have financial implications. Like, this is something that his dad, this is the storied, revered New York Yankees that his dad bought in 72 for $10 million when they had fallen on hard times, and watched his dad reassemble an empire of champions and Hall of Famers and baseball luminaries. And this had to be a real, real tough internal battle for Hal. I give him credit. I really do.
And I don't like, and I know we've joked about it, like, oh, man, you know, George would be rolling over his grave if he saw the way that this was going on, or keeping Cashman and all these guys and not spending. And really, like, we talk about it not from a personal standpoint, but when you actually put yourself in that spot, this is the guy's father that we're talking about, and these are not easy decisions to make. He's got to evolve without the leadership of his father, and he's his own man, sure, but he's always going to be compared to his father. And now when you go against certain things that we all know, because his father was public, know that your father believed in, there's going to be some criticism there and the comparisons, and it cannot be easy. So I give him credit for doing something that I don't think I would have had the, is courage the right word, the strength. I don't know if I could go against my father, even though I know that this is the best thing. And it is the best thing for the Yankees just to evolve. It's not a huge deal. It's a
simple
thing.
No, I think it is a big deal. Yeah. I disagree. Well, I think it's a very big deal in terms of the perception. I think it's massive.
Well, is it going to lead to alternate uniforms and different things that the Yankees...
They already got the patch.
Yeah, okay, but...
Already got the patch, star.
But they still haven't evolved to where... You know, all these teams have the City Connect uniforms and all that stuff. It's odd to even see the Yankees with the spring training hat that they have with the pinstripes. Which is are they going to now, is this going to be the first step in opening up to joining the rest of Major League Baseball? Or are they still going to maintain their Yankee solidarity, that they kind of have?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a huge deal, meaning the results of the team and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I don't either.
But if it leads to... the Yankees blending in with other teams,
mm-hmm.
then it is a big deal. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing at this point.
Well, it would be bad. Bad's a little bit strong. But, yeah, first of all, an alternate uniform, got no problem. I mean, it's about money. It's about merch. And
kids like that stuff. Why should your son Colt not be able to go get excited about getting a third jersey when Met fans everywhere can buy the purple jersey, the blue jersey, the black jersey, the white, the gray, And yet you got the white and the gray to choose from. Just a kid's standpoint and marketing standpoint, does it make sense?
You talk about the third jersey. Just a quick aside, I got to still find a new home for the second jersey, the Soto jersey. It's been sitting in the closet. I don't know what the hell doing it. It's funny. Think about the
way. It's a Clemens jersey now, right?
It actually says the name.
Oh, okay.
It was Santa brought it. Santa didn't know that we don't really love the names on the back and couldn't really control that. I guess the elves didn't get the memo. It's funny, Sal. I remember when I got it. It couldn't have been when I graduated college. That's too long ago. But when I entered the workforce, right, I was working at I was trying to break into radio, and I was working at Fidelity in the IRA department. I was tending bar. I was doing some construction. I was doing a bunch of different things to make a few bucks before I got my first break in the business. And I remember my dad taking me to get wingtip shoes, right, wingtip shoes that you wear with suits, which I wore at Fidelity, right? I still have them. I've gotten them resold a few times, and it's not to price drop, but they were probably $400 shoes back then. And I'm talking 30, 25 years ago. Very, very good shoe. Wingtips, oxblood and black, right? I have not worn them in, I would say, about 15 years. And I say that because so many things have changed stylistically. Every time I do a St. John's game, I'm wearing sneakers. Even when I was doing tops, for 7 or 8 years on CBS Sports Network with a suit, I was wearing sneakers.
Right.
And you look at the workforce, the casual Mondays or casual Fridays or casual forever, it's permeated the workforce where so many things have changed.
Coaches in the NBA.
Yep, coaches in the NBA for the most part wearing suits. College, except Patino, which is why he's the godfather. I love it. Most wear the sweatsuits, the track suits. There's just a different style. And there's a different approach, and it's more on individuality, and it's more on comfort. The only thing that I would go nuts over is if the Yankees ever put the names on the back. That is the one thing that they need to continue to distinguish themselves with. And as long as they don't do that, the patch with Star Insurance.
What about the road jerseys with the name on the back? Not at home.
No, I don't want any. No. The grays on the road, no names. Okay. The pinstripes at home, no names. But this other stuff, earrings and longer hair and facial hair, it's 2025. Let's get with it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tom is in Port St. Lucie. What's up, Tom?
Gentlemen. Happy Friday and happy spring training. I am really happy about this. This was a long time coming. May the boss rest in peace. But, especially that, if we want to get younger, we have to let this happen. It's kind of funny, but I believe a lot of players, I'm sitting here looking at the roster right now, and me, for instance, I work in sales, and it's my choice to shave every day because that's my choice. And I grew up, my dad was a military man, and he didn't believe in facial hair. So I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to, and thank you for the call, Tom. I'm not sure how it's going to open up a lot of doors for this team exactly. I just think that you're making players more, you become more appealing as opposed to, do I really want to go there and deal with their rules and their strict nonsense with facial hair of all things? But it's like, if you pay them the most money, as they've done for many years, you're going to end up getting the player anyway, and then they'll shave. Look at Max Fried. Like you said, Devin Williams a trade, but Giambi over the years, all these guys, you want to come here, you know the rules. You have to shave if you want to be a New York Yankee. I don't know if it's going to open up more doors, BT, but I do think it lets a little air out of the tension sometimes that type of strict unnecessary rule can provide in the way that they are perceived and looked at as far as maybe younger audience or maybe just in general in the baseball world.
I wouldn't use the word tension, not with Hal and not with Boone's demeanor and even Cash's, you know, I don't mean when he's doing his job, but he's fairly, you know, lighthearted and you know, socially adaptable when he spent. By the way, they're speaking at 11, as you said, Cash and Hal, so looking forward to see what they say. I think it's more just unappealing. You know, I think there was certainly a point where there was a stuffiness to the Yankees.
Maybe that's
no
the right
doubt
word.
About
stuffiness.
It.
So, like, it feels they're a little less stuffy today.
Yeah, it's dissipated. But I think it's even dissipated before today. But I think that this just acknowledges the fact that, you know, they are artists in their own way. They are brands in their own way. I know that I don't love that stuff because you're a ball player. But being a ball player today's day and age also comes with it branding and individuality. And, you know, Joe Pepitone with the wacky hair back in the day, which is a good look. It's character. What I never got, this is what was so inconsistent to me. You look at some of the Yankees, it's okay for Goose to have these crazy handlebars, but you can't have, like, you know, a beard for 5 or 6 days. But you could have these wacky, bushy handlebar mustaches. Like, I just didn't understand the inconsistency. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't know, and we'll see. You know, Vlad Guerrero's going to have a big decision coming up. Vlad, yeah, he likes to rock that facial hair. Who knows? I mean, when you hear Vlad say, I guess a year or two ago, I would never play for the Yankees, was it because of the way they treated his dad, or was it because of an arrogance and a stuffiness that was unappealing to a young ball player? If it's choice B, which I think it may have been, well, guess what? That burden's kind of removed a little bit.
I think it was probably a little bit of both. But yeah, the arrogance and stuff, the higher than, better than everybody else type stuff, like, I don't stand for that. I can't stand that, period. And the Yankees organization, now they have been better, like more successful, but when you act like you're above everybody else and everybody else seems like it's more looser and having fun and you still remain that one team, I don't know, facial hair. Like, there are certain things I think that should be in order. The facial hair is not one of them. So I do think it takes, maybe tension wasn't the right word that I used, take some of that stuffy or arrogance away.
It modernizes them.
Which then does make them more appealing,
yes,
to, say, a Vlad Guerrero Jr. Dino is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Dino?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
So, with the facial hair news breaking, do you think this is a factor that they had to basically change just to go after Vlad next season?
Well, no. I don't think you do it for one player. If they did, that would be weak. And I don't think you do it today when Vlad Guerrero, unless they were going to trade for him, whatever. No, I don't. I'm not saying that there can't be some positive repercussions downstream for the Yankees based on this change of policy, but there's no way they implemented this solely for Vlad Guerrero. No chance.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Vlad Guerrero. You guys are thinking about it too hard here. This is and read the comments from Hal. We'll hear from Hal coming up when they speak at 11 o'clock. But you're thinking, wait, this is not. There's no way you overturn a 50-year decision.
Yeah.
Because of one potential free agent. I still don't think the Yankees are getting Vlad. I think they're going to get Tucker, assuming he does go to free agency. I think that's going to be their big prize possession in the offseason. They're going to be able to get both Tucker and Vlad. So I think they're more going to invest in Tucker when we get there. So, no, it's not about one player. It's just about a philosophical, organizational decision to evolve and get with the times. And I do think, now, I don't know about Keith McPherson specifically. I know he's been vocal about that on our airwaves and one of the leaders about this on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, I'm not going to say he did it in, you know, directly, but I do think that Keith and others going hard on this on social media and whatever platforms fans have did create sort of like an awareness that the Yankees were like, maybe we need to take an internal look at this and, you know, talk to some people. Hal said he talked to people in the, you know,
former players
and all that
stuff. Yep.
But I do think that, like, that groundswell from fans complaining about this, it's not just this year, but it started to get louder this year, in part because of Keith. And I do think that that played a part in this.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I think that to run a good business, I think you certainly can't let social media run your or determine your policies, but to remain obtuse to some complaints and reservations. And, you know, I think that that's a foolish way to operate. So I give the Yankees some credit here. Sal, if I said to you, you know, what are the two, maybe up until recently, but what have been the two longstanding, when you close your eyes and think Yankees, and I don't mean championships, but maybe the two things that distinguish or separate the Yankees from others?
Tradition?
Yeah, tradition, and that's certainly the broad term. I'll give you two specific ones.
Yeah.
Old Timers Day and the pinstripes.
Right.
Okay, no names and uniforms.
Yep.
Well, even Old Timers Day is different. They don't play the game anymore. They come out. And by the way, I don't mind it. You know, there's a Q&A now. You get to rehash some old stories. You bring out the old champions, the luminaries. And I think Susan does a good job with that. She asks some questions. But even that's changed. So the Yankees were, ironically, you know, the Mets have brought back Old Timers Day. Some others are doing it maybe in the older conventional way. But the Yankees have even kind of changed that policy or reformed a bit. So I think to push forward, you've got to protect and respect the past, but you've got to be open-minded to what the next generation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Generation wants, and I think it's a good balance of the. I applaud the Yankees. Good work.
Me too. I think this is a win-win for everybody involved. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll continue the conversation with your calls. We'll also get into the Four Nations face-off or classic, or whatever they call that. We'll get into that coming up as well. But we start with the Yankees facial hair policy and that change. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Speaking of the Red Bulls, I just heard the Tiki commercial. They were nice enough to bring in some breakfast today. Did you have that, the Red Bulls food there?
I had a little something, yeah. A little chicken. Weird eating chicken at 9:30, but it was good.
I know. I didn't but say no. Still, free food, and it was delicious. That's part of the new cuisine that's going to be out there at Sports Illustrated Stadium. I told you I went last year. I loved it. Sammy Steinleit hooked us up with the food, so it's nice to have them as a partner. Love the Red Bulls. Can't wait. Can't believe the season starts tomorrow. First home game, though, will be March 1st. We got to actually get out there. We should go with
Cole. Yeah, you went last year, right?
And it was a great time. Jerry was just talking about it. We should go and hang out, bring Cole to family.
I will. My daughter's more into soccer than my son at this point, but I've known Sammy for 20 years back when I was doing stuff with the Knicks. I love him. He's just a great guy, and they have a really class organization.
And it really is a good experience. I'm not a big soccer fan, but I've gotten into it by going to the games. Really, it is a good experience. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the facial hair stuff. You know, Yankees now changing their facial hair policy. It's funny, BT. It's been talked about for years, and it seems like it's been, you know, the snowball, right? Getting bigger and bigger, and the momentum leads to the eventual change, which happened today. But this has been something that I remember Mike and Chris talking about going back years.
And what did Mike say? Do you remember Mike's opinion? I would think that he would not want to change it back then.
Yeah, I think so. I just remember it coming up. Like, whether I don't recall the exact specific opinions on it, but it's something that's been discussed for many, many years.
Well, that's generally the case with everything here, Sal. You think about the current state of college athletics, and you know, one of the main reasons why St. John's has carved this road back is because of NIL and money. A big reason, you know, obviously you could pay Patino as well. And that was a conversation, you know, I remember engaging in 20 years ago. And I resisted it certainly more then than I have now. I've last couple of years, I've certainly supported the younger student athletes. But generally, things take a little while to develop, to snowball. And generally, common sense wins out, and this seems like a good common sense, self-aware move by the Yankees.
Steve is on Long Beach Island. What's up, Steve?
Steve-O.
Okay. Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening, Stevie? How you doing?
Good. Being a baseball fan predating the Steinbrenner rule, obviously, to me, it was a good rule change. trying to have a policy about facial hair in this day and age is kind of a little ridiculous when you have Strowman and Luis Hill with neck tattoos, Alex Verdugo with tattoos up and down his arms. You have to realize that it looks ridiculous trying to do something like that. And just for historical purposes, the first time the Yankees enforced that rule with the hair, I don't know if you remember, there was a guy named Oscar Gamble.
Of course. Yeah, lefty hitter. Yeah, number 17, I think. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Yankees acquired him back in 1976 for Pat Dobson, and he was with Cleveland, and he had it looked like a chia pet.
Yeah, he rocked some.
Exactly.
All time.
But anyway, I just wanted to comment on what you guys said, and you know, like I said, it looks totally ridiculous when you see the tattoos that everybody is wearing today. Than to worry about facial hair. So
yeah, fair
that's
enough.
My tip.
And thank you for the call, Steve. I do think it's a little different with tattoos. It's a choice that you want to put on your body, and it doesn't look unkempt. Like the hair.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
There's a way. And by the way, you could probably cover up the tattoos, I guess, if you need to, although if it's on the neck, I mean, you could wear a turtleneck, BT. That's maybe your style if you need to cover that up.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a sloppiness sometimes if you don't maintain the beard the right way.
Yeah, like a Justin Turner kind of thing. Or
yeah, I'm not a fan of
it. Yeah, I don't like
Brian
that at
Wilson
all.
Back in the day used to have that.
Keuchel, that was a little bit too big for me.
Yeah, and
I'm not a fan of that.
And by the way, those probably still won't be allowed. Like, it was pretty clear that it has to be a well-maintained.
But I don't think it was clear because I
thought so. No,
well, think about this: well-maintained beard. Okay, maybe my definition of well-maintained is slightly different than theirs. What does that mean? Well-maintained.
I mean, well-maintained.
Is it an inch? Is it two? Or is it three?
Well,
is it 5 days stubble? Is it 2 weeks? I don't know.
Length. You're right. Length may be unclear, but as long as it's maintained properly, like not growing everywhere. Maybe.
But there's still got to be an arbiter for that, is what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's still judge and jury. Like, it's not a big deal. I'm just saying.
Is that
still
Boone's job? Who's going to be handling that?
Yeah, I don't think Boone cares.
Yeah.
I think that, I think it's great. I think it's good. I think it's a great expression of individuality. I can't stand shaving. I never liked it.
I hate it.
I abhor it. I detest it. I hate it.
You think that's because we're both bald and we have to shave our heads as well?
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, I
so
think that's big.
Annoying.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is for me? I feel like, and I don't know that I felt this way when I was like young, when I was like 18, 19, 20. I just don't like the completely barren look, if you will.
Right.
And not that I'm self-conscious being bald. I honestly don't care. My wife likes
it.
That's all that matters to me.
Is it because there's some comparisons that it could look like, you know,
like an ass?
Well, no, like the other
baby's ass?
Other side.
What? What do you mean?
You know, I don't want to say it on the radio. I'm not the morning show, but you know,
I'm not following.
Like
yet.
Your head and face unshaven, you know,
could look like
another smaller, different type.
I don't know. I usually
okay.
Follow
I say it off the air. Half are you getting what I'm saying here?
A penis?
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. Yes. I didn't want to say those words exactly, but
you can say penis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, Gio could say it. Al could say it. Jerry could say it. I don't know if
they
I could
say a lot these days, huh?
If I was soaking
my ass, we got to get into that later. Everybody's coming at Sally Boy.
Yeah, that's all right. But yeah, so like an unshaven face and head.
I
had somebody you know say that to me once in anger.
Really?
It's actually Monzo. We were talking about Monzo the other day.
He was mad at you.
Help me out. Yeah, this is years ago.
Is this what you look like a penis?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard that before, though.
I've never heard that once.
You've never heard that?
I honestly have not.
Even I don't want to say like you look like it, but yeah, like looking at you with the shaved head and the shaved face.
I know, it's
like,
very, very, like I said, very shiny today.
There are, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, I also think that some people, this doesn't apply to us, I don't think. I think there's some people who are self-conscious, like if they have a double chin or honestly, like
Ryan,
if they don't, if they have like a thicker, rounder face.
Hey, that's me now.
Seriously.
Because I'm not in shape. I need to lose 10 to 15 pounds at least. So I'm on TV. And even now, I don't like the way that I look, even when I see these videos back with the beard. So without it, I would hate that. It buys me some time at least to cover up some of it. Yeah, but it's a comfort thing.
It is.
Luckily, there's no facial hair policy at SOI.
Yeah, it's also a style thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, facial hair is in. It's been in for a while.
And if you're bald, the one way that you could maybe compensate is to have a little bit.
Yeah, we get the eyes to dart to the scruff, not the shiny, ugly dome. That's all. It's all
so
tactic.
So why did you shave?
You know what it is? Because Number one, it's just to make sure it's symmetrical. Like, I'll shave the head every day, as you know, but I won't shave the beard regularly until, and like, I have a bunch of like buzzers.
Yeah.
So I might keep a little chin, but then I'll just dial it in if I have a St. John's cuff. I don't want to look like a slob.
All right.
And if I don't do it perfectly, then I'm like, all right, let me start over. Let me just get the foundation fresh, and then I won't shave for another couple of weeks.
I should have shaved today, and then I get this trip coming up to Disney. I'm like, let me just shave now. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I hate it. Getting on the shaving cream on the face, making sure the lines are proper.
Yeah.
Your face doesn't feel right afterwards.
You shave in the shower?
No.
Oh, I always shave in the shower.
I've heard
it's the
that.
Best.
I've heard that, and I've heard after. I can't do that because I'd rather shave before the shower and then clean everything off.
I do it in the shower. I got a mirror in there. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I guess.
The hot water kind of opens up the pores. It's the best way to do it,
doesn't the mirror get, like, steamy, though?
Yes, that's what you want.
Yeah, but then how could you see in the mirror?
Well, I mean, the mirror is steam-free.
Also, then the lights. Oh, okay, it's a steam-free mirror. Okay, the lighting in there, maybe not as good. Plus, my eyes are shot.
Well, listen, I can't help you with that. That means if you got 9 complaints, just shave by the sink. Dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Tony is in Dutchess, New York. What's up, Tony?
Hello, Tony.
Tony?
Hey, guys. Okay. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
Hey. So, it's funny you mentioned soccer. I'm actually on my way taking my daughter to Central Islip for a soccer tournament.
Nice. There you go. What, no school today?
Hey. No, she has school, but she was given the permit to go to a showcase, trying to get to college right now. So,
that's fantastic. Best of luck. That's absolutely fantastic. Good job, Dad.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, I agree 100% about the shaving for the Yankees. One thing that I would like to see the whole entire league get rid of, to include the NFL, will be the excessive jewelry wearing, especially with all this stuff happening now with athletes' homes getting, ransacked by all these criminals.
Yeah.
I would love to see the league curtail a little bit all this jewelry wearing, especially during games. It's a bit out of control. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think you're asking the wrong person. Now, thanks for the call. I was a jewelry guy growing up. Like, I always had a thick gold chain. When I couldn't skate past my dad and he didn't see it, I had the earring. I don't wear jewelry now. I've got my wedding ring, and if I'm doing something, I've got a nice watch. That's it. And my cross, my chain. Like, but it's thin. But I think if I was 20-something years old now, I think I'd have some serious bling out there. I honestly do.
But don't you think it's gotten a little bit? Now, you're right, it's today's style, and these young players want to flash their necklaces or whatever, chains, which is fine. It's their style. I'm not knocking that. I do think when you're playing a sport, and we've seen these things break on the field before.
Not much. Maybe in football you can get grabbed. But, like, what? Do you see the thing that Jazz wore the other day?
Yeah, but is there a need to do that? That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the need? You're playing baseball. And, by the way, it shouldn't be a Yankee policy. To me, that should be a Major League
Baseball
thing.
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, okay, so even really all these things. It shouldn't be a team policy. It should be a league policy. Hey, you're all Major League Baseball players. This is what we expect when you go out and take the field as a major leaguer. You have to have a certain uniform or wear certain things. They have those things, so why couldn't they say, the facial policy, you could grow your hair out if you like, but you got to look, professional, or you can't wear X amount of chains or different size chains.
Like, well, let me ask you this, Sal. If it's not a potential injury risk, like, I could see the NFL, like, I see more and more, like, wide receivers wearing chains that are sticking.
Ridiculous.
That's a little dangerous because you could obviously grab that, whatever. I've never seen an issue in baseball. Now, maybe you want to tell me it's sunny out and the sun's reflecting off the pitcher's fat chain, and maybe it's a bit of a detriment to the hitter. I know that sounds like a stretch, but it's I can actually see that being a bit of an issue. That's why you can't wear white, even in Little League. Like, you can't wear white armband because the white kind of obscures the butt, blends in with the ball.
But why do you think the players do it?
Because they want to look good.
Because
they feel comfortable in their style.
They want to show off. There is no need. Who pick a player. There's no need for a player, NFL, baseball, whatever, to wear. Like, basketball players don't do it because it's going to impede their game. Right? It's a different style of game.
But they used to. Michael Jordan did when he first came up.
Yeah,
and in the ABA as well, they had it. That's a safety thing for basketball and football.
Okay, but baseball, too, you shouldn't be running around trying to play a sport with this stuff.
Who's it hurting?
What good is it doing? It's showing off. You're showing off your chain and your style. Like,
okay.
I don't know. To me.
But think about this. Is it any different than showboating on your way to the end zone or pimping a home run? I mean, showboating is kind of showboating.
But with the accessories like that.
But
like,
I loved my jewelry. Dude, it started with Run DMC, with those fat chains.
You know me, I don't even like the wedding ring stuff. Like, these guys that are like, oh, I can't play without my wedding ring. Oh, I have to have a
You got
on
Kyle Tucker for that, right?
No, not him.
Was it Tucker? Who was it?
Kirk Cousins was one.
One of the Tampa Rays. Was it Wendell? Was it Joey Wendell? One of those guys wore like that rubber,
maybe
the rubber wedding ring, the black rubber wedding ring. I don't be a grump.
Yeah,
you had style when you were young, I think.
Yeah, but when you're playing baseball, do you do you need to wear a ring?
Oh, I had my fat chain hanging out. It was fat.
Yeah, right. BT and Sal back on the fan. You know, it's one thing because you get enough aggravation as there is in life. And then this morning coming in, right, we're getting set for the for Disney tomorrow. Yeah, everybody's stressed a little bit, excited but stressed. And my wife goes to drop off Sammy at school. And this made me think of it because the last call was saying he's taking his daughter to the tournament or whatever. My wife goes to drop Sammy off at school, like she does every morning. And I guess the teachers didn't come out to get her. So my wife had to put the car, you know, put it in park, whatever, go get Sammy out and then walk her to the building.
Okay.
And she calls me upset because two guys yelled at her. Hey, lady, you can't effing park there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't blame her for being upset.
Me neither.
Okay.
But like now I'm upset because now she's upset. Yeah. And there's nothing I can do about it. I'm driving into work. I'm like, do you know what they look like?
Do you get the license plate?
Remember the car? Yeah. No, she didn't because she's like, I was just leaving. Now, maybe she was like illegally parked because she said 30 seconds because normally the aide will come and get Sammy out and then walk her in. She, you know, she's young. She goes to school early.
She's 3 or 4 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She can't walk in. She can't get out of the car and go. And these people don't know. And I'm sure that they're rushing and going to school. But my wife's like, I didn't like block them in. They could have just went around me. But two of them yelled at me. They drove past, and she was like, the cowards that they are, drove past and yelled out their window as opposed to like saying something. But can you imagine that? These guys yelling at her? Two adult males yelling at a woman who's taking her kid in? Just go around her. Gee, and then I got to deal with this nonsense. Like my wife's, you understand what I'm saying?
I could never imagine doing that. I've gotten road rage. Not in a while, thank God, but even that's calmed down a little bit. But maybe I've just found a way to cut all these cars on 280.
We're zen here on the midday.
Exactly.
We're learning, BT.
We're relaxing, man. We're maturing. That's what it comes. We're maturing for sure. Hey, wasted. One thing I have learned, wasted negative energy is really, truly wasted energy.
Right.
But anyway, I could never imagine doing that to a woman.
And it's like, you want to say road rage? Fine. Like, different story, whatever. I could at least accept it to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, if a woman zooms by at 97 miles an hour, I mean, like, in a double park for 30 seconds in front of a school?
In a school parking lot, taking her kid to school. And now I'm like, all right, well, maybe next week when I'm off, we'll go make a visit. She's like, yeah, but you don't know they're going to be
there. We'll go make a visit.
I'll go make the visit. Because I told her next time, I go, did you say anything to them? She said no.
Oh, my wife would absolutely snap back at him. You got to snap back.
Now, the good thing, my wife knows, because when she turns,
oh,
it ain't pretty for anybody.
Okay, gotcha.
So I've tried to tell, like, hey, in public, you know, you don't so maybe she's, like, getting that hint that she wants to. But she's also got a lot going on, you know, dealing with the other.
There's
the
a lot stuff going on.
Yeah, so now I'm hurt because
the trip and everything.
Yeah, I'm hurt because she's hurt.
100%.
And now I want those two people to know that.
You want blood.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's not. What time are we going there?
Yeah. Don't let BT get soured up on his phone. It makes me feel good to vent about it, so thank you for that.
I don't blame you. By the way, I started, I don't know if you caught this. We'll get back to these calls, BT and Sal on the fan. You know when you get several messages from, it's only really with your wife because your buddies aren't texting you like too much. And if they are, it's like whatever. I mean, they text me, but I don't really, I get back to them when I can. Yeah. It's the wife's a little different. And I missed the previous text. So I don't know if you heard me grunting
a
and maybe dropping an F-bomb.
Yeah.
So I see a picture of our kitchen sink. I feel like this is more you, but it actually worked out well. I see, look at the picture. The doors. So I see the doors to our sink
never
open.
Never a good sign, yeah.
Never a good sign. And it says, the plumber came and installed quickly with an exclamation point. And then she writes, amazing, 3 exclamation points. I'm saying, what the hell's so amazing about dropping $500 for new whatever the hell they just put in there, right?
Know what it was?
No, I missed the previous text where she says, with our home warranty service, we just got a brand new disposal for free.
Wow.
How about that?
That's good. See, that's a win for you. Yeah, you're right. If it weren't me, I'd be dropping $500 BT and Sal. That's great. Congrats. 888-808-1019. Mark is in Saddle River. Back to the Yankees facial hair. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
So, BT, I'm a traditionalist like you, been a Yankee fan since 1976, Chambliss. All I think about, all I thought about this morning after hearing the news, was Mattingly. All the issues that went on between him and Steinbrenner back in the mid-'80s, I mean, it was every day, long hair, short hair, being fined. So how are they going to manage, you know, the slippery slope of, well, the hair needs to be neat and clean. I mean, the beard needs to be neat and clean. I mean, we're revisiting 40 years ago, whatever happened, and what are they going to do? Take out a ruler every day to figure out How's it looking? How's it going to be measured? I think they're going down a slippery slope. I think it's going to lead to bigger issues. It should be clean shaven or just grow beards, you know.
Well, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's a little confusing, Mark. And I said that to Sal. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that Mattingly stuff. Do you remember the Mattingly hair stuff? You were a little bit too young for that.
I know about it in more recent from watching some documentaries or things like that, but not back then.
I remember, Sal, actually watching, I think it would have been Bill Butel on ABC. And I'm like doing a report on how Mattingly was getting, it was in The Simpsons with the hair.
Right.
Mattingly was getting benched, literally. Now, Stump Merrill didn't want to necessarily do it. George made him because his hair was too long. Not even his beard. The back of his hair was too long. He had like a mullet back then. And listen, I don't know if I use the term slippery slope because that generally implies something like bad is happening. I don't love when it's like wacky and wild and gross, like the Bushwhackers from old WWF or something like that. But I do think as time goes on, the translation of well-kept and well-groomed is going to become more and more nebulous. And who knows, in 15, 20 years, maybe there's zero policy.
I think it's just something. I don't think this is a dangerous thing at all. I think it's just something as simple as the manager or the general manager letting the manager know, hey, talk to so-and-so and just let them know, like, like, if I'm Boone and I see something, a beard getting a little out of control and looks sloppy, we all know, like, you know the difference between a well-maintained beard and one that's getting out of control and looking sloppy and dirty. So if you feel like it's going toward the direction of unprofessional, you just be like, hey, can you trim that up a little bit? Like, that's me being Boone telling so-and-so player, just clean that up a little bit. That's all.
Probably right, yeah.
And I also think, BT, to go back to the George point with Mattingly, like, don't you think it's like I was just watching highlights of Embiid, of Joel Embiid here, and he has a sloppy beard, which made me stop in my tracks. They're like, I would tell him to clean it up a little bit. You see how it's like growing out of.
Man, that should be more concerned about his knees,
like, see,
and his
you
beard.
See, look at the hair on him being there.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Like, it's growing out all over the place. Like, trim that up, man. It looks disgusting. Anyway, but don't you think Steinbrenner was less about the actual hair and more about who's in charge?
Here are my rules.
Specifically with the Mattingly stuff, but just in general, like, here are my rules. We're going to find out if you're disciplined enough to survive within these rules. This is what I believe in team building, how you dress, how you keep your hair, whatever, professional. Like, I think that there is something to that.
I think that's a good point. I think when this was instilled by George in, you know, when he took over the team, and I said this at the top of the show, I don't know this because George is never with us, and I don't know that he's ever been on the record with this, but I just think, you know, chronologically speaking, when he bought the Yankees 3 years later is when the Vietnam War ended, and George is a very pro-military man, staunch military supporter, went to military school. I when you started to see some of the men coming back from Vietnam War, they the hair got longer, the beards became wild, and I think that I don't know George's stance on the Vietnam War. I don't know if I'm quite going that deep. I think it was just more like a military versus a nonconformist approach and a view. And I don't think he liked the non-military approach. And I think that's probably why it was enacted. And then once it stuck for a couple of years, once Vietnam was way over, and, you know, the 80s and eventually become the 90s, I think it was just so entrenched in the DNA of the Yankees that it was almost like a refusal to change it. The timing is good. Let the players do it. I love it.
And we will hear from Hal Steinbrenner coming up next hour, so stay tuned for that. More of your calls as well. We'll continue the conversation on the Yankees changing their near 50-year facial hair policy. BT and Sal on the Fan.